Okay, well, let's turn to Psalm 39. Briefly, then we're going to go to the next text. But another reminder of the shortness of life in Psalm 39. Psalm 39 and verse number 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, and what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Lord, make me to know mine end. You know, one thing about a new year, it helps us to just see how quickly life goes by. It helps us measure life because, you know, all of us have a tendency to kind of drift in life. We kind of have a tendency just to drift along and coast along. And when we get to a new year, we get the opportunity to kind of wake up a little bit and realize that time is running out. Time is running out for our life. Time is passing. And unless we grab a hold of time with our life, we'll live our life and we will be in neutral most of our life. And that's a sad case, but it is true, isn't it? And so as we are thinking of the new year, I've been praying a lot about, or thinking about a lot about the new year and direction for our church. And what we should be aiming for. And the Lord put on my heart a little trite little saying for the year 2015. But really, I think it's more than that. And to give us a little bit of vision, some goal. And I'm really asking everybody who works in a ministry in our church to pray about how you would apply this goal, these thoughts for this year. And let's see, what is it? That's it. 15. In 2015. 15 in 2015. Say, Pastor, what does that really mean? Well, I'm not really sure what it means. But I'll tell you what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about a lot of areas of our church that we need to aim for something. And we need to go forward, and we need to work for the Lord and pray for the Lord and give our all for the Lord. So, you know, I thought about a lot of things. I thought about 15 adult conversions. I thought about 15 baptisms. I thought about, 15 new members. I've thought about 15 new families. Maybe as you think about your ministry, you could think in that light. Maybe in your class. Maybe in your class. Maybe in that college age class. That young men, that single adult men. I was thinking, well, maybe the goal is 15 in 2015. How many are running? 9 or 10. Well, maybe. You know, maybe 15, something, maybe those who work in the bus ministry, the Lord can use that for you in the bus ministry, 15. Maybe those who are in the kids club ministry. We have a new division, junior high. Maybe the Lord would impress upon you as a worker in that a burden. 15. Let's claim 15 in the year 2015. Certainly, everyone who is a worker for the Lord ought to look to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, what do you want us to do? What is it that what goal ought we set?" And I think it's important that we get things from the Lord. You know, we just don't set something and et cetera, but we need to get a sense that, yeah, this is something from the Lord. So as we think about this, and, you know, there's two aspects of this. Certainly there is the aspect in which, as maybe the leader, these are not only, it's not only important to have goals, but in one sense, the word, also as a leader, you analyze the actual actual spiritual needs of a ministry. And these aren't just trite things that I'm talking about. Our ministry needs to go forward in a very specific, concrete way in this year. And obviously, goals are an important part of life. Everybody ought to have spiritual goals for their life. You know, people have monetary goals. People have career goals. People have pleasure goals. People have goals in almost every area of their life. You know, they have a goal when they want to have something paid off. They have one a goal to do this. But, you know, spiritual goals, definite spiritual goals, are a very important part of life. And we need to think in that realm, okay? Now, I want to now deal with the flip side of this. I want us to turn to John 15. Now, you know, really, a secularist doesn't understand what I'm talking about. A secularist would never comprehend what I'm talking about. Someone who is here, maybe even, you know, a member, but if you're not really saved, you just aren't going to comprehend what we're talking about. To you, this is just numbers. This is just some kind of a formula. This is some kind of human thing. It's far beyond that. It's far beyond that. And I think you'll see that when you look at John 15. Let's read that. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." So shall ye be my disciples if ye bear much fruit. You know, humanly, we like to make excuses for ourselves. We like to excuse what little we do for the Lord. We like to excuse how little we accomplish for the Lord. We like to excuse how little spiritual effect our life has. We like to excuse it. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I'm a human being. I'm a sinner. I know all about it. But you know, as you look at the scripture, we have some very convicting truths here. It says, verse 7, let's see, what verse do I want to be in? Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, Jesus said, look on the fields for they're white in the harvest. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all men. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, as we think about this, I think the truth of the matter is we need to be truthful with ourselves. And, you know, you have every right, I'm preaching this sermon, you have every right to say, okay, Pastor, let's see, you know, let's have a checkup on you. And, yeah, it doesn't look too good. Not too good. But, you know, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. Because the Bible says, if you abide in me and I in you, you shall bear much fruit. You shall bear much fruit. Now, let's go back a step. Number one, we recognize in this passage of Scripture, the Bible is telling us that it is normal in the life of a Christian. It is normal Christianity to bear much fruit. That's normal. You know, I think Mr. Daniel there in Hungary, I think he's already stirring up the pot. I think already that group of people is being stirred up. You know what? He's already bringing fruit with his life. You know, that person that was there and been saved 1 or 2 years and hasn't even read the Bible through, and here's a guy comes along, saved 1 week, reads the whole Bible. Does that have an effect? Yeah, that has an effect. You know what that's called? That's called fruit bearing. Amen? And you know what he did to do it? You know what he did to do it? He was abiding in Christ. That's what he was doing. He was abiding in Christ. And the natural result of abiding in Christ is bearing fruit. So, you know, we have some goals. I think we ought to have goals. I think that we ought to have goals for our church. I think that... the Lord can use that in a great way. I believe that if God's people can really get a grip of this, there'll be some definite change, definite movement of the Lord in this church. But number one, actual fruit comes from the Lord. Without me, what do you say? Verse 5? You can do nothing. And you know what? That's exactly true. And that's our excuse. Our excuse is, I can't do it! Exactly. But you know what? We make that as our excuse, don't we? Well, I can't do anything because I can't do anything. Exactly. But that's not an excuse. Because it is God that brings about the fruit. It is God that does the work. It's God, not us. Now, as we look at what the Lord would direct us to aim for, it's a little bit like committing yourself to witness. You know, some people in my class, I don't know who it was, they made a commitment today that they're going to witness to one person or pass out a tract every day this week. And you know, I'm sure some of them are saying, Lord, man, I can't do it, but Lord, I decided I was going to do it, Lord. And Lord, I need your help, Lord. And Lord, I'm going to do it, but I need your help, Lord. Exactly. Exactly. Without me, you can do nothing. But you know what? If we don't commit ourselves to do what is right, we don't need the Lord. If we don't need the Lord, maybe I'll witness, maybe I won't. Well, you won't pray for the Lord's help, will you? Because you don't need the Lord's help. And so, first of all, we recognize that all fruit comes from the Lord. But let's also notice that in God's plan, it is normal to bring forth much fruit. It is normal to bring forth much fruit. Now the fruit comes from God. And it's normal that there's much fruit. That's what the Bible says. But notice, the fruit is always a result. It's always a result of abiding. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What is he saying? Yeah, we can't do it. It's God that does it. And that God does it when we as humans are abiding in Christ. When we are living the Christian life in His power and His strength, when we are dependent upon Him, when we are allowing Him to rule, we are allowing Him to strengthen us, we are allowing Him to live in our through our life. The fruit is a result of human abiding. So, Let's stop there a minute. What does that tell us about how we're doing about abiding? We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to say, well, man, not much fruit. Bible says the normal result of abiding is much fruit. I guess we'd have to say, well, maybe we're doing way too much in our own strength. Way too much in our own strength. So the fruit is a divine result of a human abiding. You know, do you think this Dan fellow over in Budapest, do you think that he's thinking right now, maybe he is, do you think that he's thinking, well, you know, I'm going to try to get this church on fire? I don't think he knows anything about that yet. I don't think he knows anything about it. But you know what? I think the evidence says he's probably abiding in Christ. And he's already being a vessel of the Spirit of God to bring change. Wow. Because the fruit is a result of human abiding. Now, human abiding always includes God's Word. Notice what it says. It says here, if ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, human abiding always includes God's word and the Lord's work in his life through his word. Through his word. John chapter 8. Let's go there a minute. John chapter 8, verse 32. Context. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you continue in my word. What does it say in John 15? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, the promise here, the truth here, is obeying the Word, reading the Word, letting the Word of God convict us of sin, finding the principles of the Bible, thinking the truths of God's Word, and letting that truth lead you and to fill your mind. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, that human abiding includes God's word. Now, if we're having hot dog devotions, we probably don't have much fruit. If we don't have, if we're not reading the Bible except out of obligation, there's not much fruit. Because, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, this is not mechanical. This isn't mechanical. This is the real Christian life. This is God working in our life. This is God changing our life through His Word. This is God setting our priorities in our life through His Word. This is God's Spirit using His Word to direct us and to change us and to challenge us to come to obedience to Him. This is responding to God's Word. This is accepting God's Word. This is obeying God's Word. This is turning to the Spirit of God in our need of His strength, in our desire to obey. This is valuing what Christ values. You know, it's something that takes place in our heart. It's the work of God in our heart. This human abiding includes divinely inspired praying. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Maybe that's not a good word, divinely inspired, but maybe divinely directed would be an easier word to understand. Divinely indirected prayer. And that divinely directed prayer comes when we're walking with God. And notice how the Bible tells us, it says in John chapter 14, notice what it says, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Divinely directed prayers. You know, as we walk with the Lord directs our prayers. As we walk with the Lord directs us by faith to pray specific prayers. Not merely general prayers. You know, we don't like specific prayers. We do, but we don't. You know why we don't like specific prayers? Because they take faith. Takes faith to launch out, to pray a big prayer. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Takes faith. You know, nobody wants to be a fool. Nobody wants to be a pretender. I'm not going to pray a specific prayer. Because if I don't, then I don't have to question my relationship to the Lord. I don't have to investigate my ability to trust the Lord. I don't have to have faith. I don't have to really launch out in the deep and depend upon God to answer that prayer. I don't have to pray specifically. But you know, the Bible says if we abide in Him, we're going to pray specific prayers. Because those prayers are going to come from God. They're going to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to recognize and sense that this is how I ought to pray. We'll pray specific prayers. You know, it is amazing in the Bible the complexity between the human and the divine. Simple, but overwhelmingly profound. that we could pray and the God of heaven would answer that prayer. Can you imagine that? Us humans, frail, praying to the God of heaven, and the God of heaven answering that prayer. Can you comprehend that? No. The complexity of the combination of the human and the divine. Oh, there are some that try to figure it out. And those who try to figure it out miss something. You know, if they try to figure out, well, then they say, no use in praying because, you know, only God can do it. And he'll do what he wants to do, and so I don't pray. And then there are those who say, well, God's going to save who he's going to save, and therefore I'm not have any obligation to witness. And so they don't witness much, and they don't really maybe attempt much. Because they've tried to figure out the complexity of the human and the divine. But there is a human element. There is a human element. That human element needs to be divinely directed. God tells us to number our days. God tells us that we need to judge our life in light of what the Bible says. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, there's some commands in the Bible that ought to stir us up as to what we ought to do. And yet at the same time, there's another aspect. That other aspect is, if we're abiding in Christ, then we will fulfill the role of a watchman. If we're abiding in Christ, there will be a stirring in our heart to witness. If we're abiding in Christ, the Spirit of God is going to work in our life to see people as souls. If we're abiding in Christ, well, then we are going to be seeking his help, calling upon him for strength, calling upon him for boldness as we do the will of God. You know, I really don't know what God's going to do in 2015. But I know that 2015 needs to be a year going forward. And it needs to be a year that we're going to attempt great things for God. And as we look at the scripture, I think the Bible makes it clear that the greatest need is for us to abide in Christ. Because if we will abide in Christ, what will be the result? Much fruit. Much fruit. Not all of it will we be able to know or even count. But it is an amazing thing. It is so true. That the greatest need is for us to be right with God. The greatest need is for us to give ourselves to Christ. The greatest need is for us to abide in Him. It's nothing for God to do these other things. Amen. It's nothing. Now, I'm excited for some of you. Some of you have genuinely said, you know what, I'm going to witness to one person every day. Boy, I tell you what, now you're going to be in the real spiritual battle. You're going to be like Mark Cahill. You're going to wake up in the morning and you say, God, help me not be a wimp. You know, you're going to be in the real spiritual battle. And that's exciting, isn't it? But really, what is it all about? It's all about us abiding in Christ. He's looking for vessels, isn't he? He's looking for those who are willing to be dependent upon him, who will get their strength and walk with him. If you are a ministry leader, I'd like to challenge you. How could you apply this to your ministry? Pray about it. Pray about it. How could God direct you specifically in applying this to your specific ministry? I don't want to set goals for everybody, but you know, we ought to set a goal. Pray for 15 and set free in 2015. Never been there yet, have we? But God can do it. Amen. God can do it. You know, I'm not going to tell you how the Lord would direct you. But you know, maybe personally, the Lord would direct you in your personal life. Maybe by the end, maybe that God would direct you to say, you know what? By the end of 2015, I want to have 15 people that I got on my prayer list that are getting, you know, on the road or getting close to salvation. Maybe it'd be a combination. You know, 15. Well, 15, that might, for you, maybe include the number of people that got saved. Maybe include the number of people that are through your ministry coming to church and hearing the Bible. Might be 15 people, might be some relatives that never before were interested in the gospel, and all of a sudden God's worked in their lives. It might include a neighbor. It might include a co-worker that now is asking questions. It might be somebody that has, asked enough questions that they're coming to ladies' Bible study. Might be somebody that, you know, their kids are coming to kids' club now. You know, however the Lord would lead you. I don't know what the Lord wants to do with it, but I believe that we need to set some goals for our ministry that are concrete. And maybe the Lord will give me some more definites, but I'd like you to set some goals for your own life. And if you're in a ministry, to go to the Lord and seek with the Lord how you could apply this little saying to the ministry that you have. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in me, ye shall bear much fruit. What a challenge to all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that we realize that your hand is not shortened, Lord.